You are listening to From the Margins on CHSR 97.9 in Fullerton.
Aggressive state intervention into the local labor movement that ensures that the radical labor movements are marginal.
What they're looking for now is less to get elected and more to come to the favorable attention of capital.
For the first time in history, we have a movement in this country led by indigenous peoples and most importantly, indigenous women.
Repeatedly we've seen the attempt to criminalize black victims, to do anything to smear their names, to basically imply that black life isn't worth anything.
Our society teaches women to be ashamed of their bodies, to hate their bodies, to change their bodies.
We see increasing organized repression.
I'm stubborn. I'm not going to back down. This could go on for years and years and years.
People need to realize what type of struggle that they're on.
The police, of course, are going to need to believe that there's some kind of criminal reason behind this.
Take every day as an act of resistance, whether it was a strike, a riot, or whatever.
It's very difficult for people to engage in sustained dissent. I don't believe it's impossible, though.
Good day, and it is From the Margins, a glorious return after a hiatus of, 1 week? Hey, Cody, how are you doing?
Yeah, one. I don't think I've been
mic. Oh, it should be on. It's all on. What are you, number three? Yeah. You're number three, okay.
Hey, now I get to say hello.
Hey, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, it's been
okay,
a week.
Sure.
A week. We're a little rusty.
Yeah, we're a little off the mark here. Yeah. We have a guest, Abram.
Hi there.
Cool, all right, and the subject of the day, Cody?
So today we're going to be talking about the Tuition Access Grant, which was recently announced last week by the provincial government. We're going to be talking to Nigam Kanal. She's an international student at UMB from Nepal, as well as we said, we've got Abram in-house. We're going to be looking at what will it look like. The provincial government was a little vague as to what it's about. All it was if your family makes $60,000 or less, your tuition will be covered. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean in reference to federal funding? We'll be asking at who benefits from this, who doesn't benefit from it. Are there gaps? Likely there will be, so we'll look into that. And is this the right direction for funding for post-secondary education in general? And where do we go from here? As well as kind of looking at where did the money come from? Because obviously it had to come from somewhere, and was that the right move? So now we're going to go to a song by a Montreal-based comedian named John Lajoie, although he took a step back from his comedy to write a song called For the Students during the Quebec student strike just a couple years ago.
C'est une chanson pour montrer ma solidarité avec les étudiants au Québec qui sont en grève présentement. This is not very funny. I apologize in advance. My next song will have farts and penises in it, I promise. You try to make me stay down upon my knees. Tell me that I'm wrong and right is just a dream. Someone has to pay. Oh, oh, oh. The American way, I should just go home. You say I don't make sense, I don't know what I need, and what I need is to lose democracy. Someone has to pay. Oh, oh, oh. You are not to blame, I should just go home. I do not believe you anymore. You've been lying to me for way too long. You exist for me, not the other way around. We are not your children, you cannot tell us to stay inside. We won't ever go. You can run, but you can't hide from us all. You shove 78 down my throat and you think I will not cough and spit it in your face. We are not afraid, no. We will not behave, nor will we go home. I do not believe you anymore. You've been lying to me for way too long. You exist for me, not the other way around. We are not your children, you cannot tell us to stay inside, we won't ever go. You can run, but you can't hide from us all.
Done. All right, nice. So what was this song again?
It's called For the Students by John Lajoie.
Nice, nice. Very on point. Mm. Okay, so before going into this further, just going to read out the announcement from the provincial government that took place this past April 14th. This is specifically what we will be diving into for the rest of the show. Okay. Free tuition for low-income and middle-class families. From the Government of New Brunswick. Premier Brian Gallant and Post-Secondary Education, Training and Labour Minister Francine Landry have announced that through the Education and New Economy Fund, tuition will be free for New Brunswick students from low-income and many middle-income families. The announcement was made April 14 at the University of New Brunswick. The new Tuition Access Bursary was established to provide upfront financial assistance to students from families with an annual income of $60,000 or less and who attend a publicly funded university or college in New Brunswick. We are doing this so university and college tuition can be free for low-income and many middle-class New Brunswick families, said Gallant. As New Brunswickers, this is what we do. We help those who need it most. End quote. We can just chuckle on that for a bit. Okay. The federal government provides grants for students with low and middle income who want to obtain a post-secondary education. Through the bursary, the provincial government will pay the difference between the federal grant provided to an eligible student and the amount owing for that student's tuition. Increasing access to post-secondary education has been a goal of Gallant even before entering public life. Quote, education is the key to New Brunswick's economic future, said Gallant. It has been said that a job is the best social program. I believe that the best social program is a job coupled with the opportunity to be educated and trained for that job. Making post-secondary education more accessible and affordable will help us develop a skilled workforce for our businesses, all the while strengthening the social fabric of our province. In recent years, enrollment in the province's public institutions has dropped, while tuition and public funding has increased. In addition to helping students who need it most, the bursary will encourage students to study in their home province at either the University of New Brunswick, the Université de Moncton, St. Thomas University, Mount Allison University, or the New Brunswick Community College, the Collège Communautaire de Nouveau-Brunswick, or the New Brunswick College of Craft and Design. We have significant demographic challenges that will continue to affect enrollment at our universities and colleges, said Landry. This program will incentivize New Brunswickers to study here at home, thus helping our publicly funded universities and colleges, end quote. In addition to the announcement today, Landry reiterated the many steps government has taken to increase the access and affordability of post-secondary education, including the removal of parental and spousal contributions from student loan calculation. Additionally, the timely completion benefit will still be available to students who have already begun the program of study. The provincial government has also created or enhanced a suite of employment programs to help students gain work experience and develop skills during and after their studies, including the Youth Employment Fund and the Student Employment Experience Development Program, wherein more placements were added while taking the politics out of the selection process. I think I'll stop there, because it already covers the portion about the grant. Is there more?
Maybe just that bit about money.
Okay. The program will start at the beginning of the 2016-2017 academic year. Under the Education and New Economy Fund, Nearly $25 million will be invested in the bursary during the first year alone. The $25 million is comprised of $14.5 million for strategic initiatives like the Tuition Access Bursary, alongside additional monies raised by discontinuing the education and tuition amounts on the income tax return. This follows similar decisions by the federal and Ontario governments this year. It is anticipated that 7,100 students will be eligible to immediately benefit from the bursary, which represents about 23% of New Brunswick students in the province's public post-secondary institutions. Among students who apply for the student financial assistance, more than 50% will qualify for the bursary. The establishment of the bursary is in keeping with the government's commitment to make higher education more accessible for students with the greatest financial need.
That's probably good enough.
All right, cool. So there we have it. That's what the government is saying is going to happen. There's a lot of pronouncements in there, a lot of criteria presented in there as well. So, Cody, do you want to get us started?
Yeah, so I mean, the main things that come out of this is, I mean, it says the key, well, what was that sentence that you had read out just up a bit more, which was about the fact that this grant will be topping up an existing federal grant or a proposed federal grant. And I think that's kind of an important thing to be looking at, as well as kind of what does it mean for the $60,000 or less.
Right.
So
I can highlight that.
Yeah.
It's right
read
here.
That again.
So the statement reads, the federal government provides grants for students with low and middle income who want to obtain a post-secondary education. Through the bursary, the provincial government will pay the difference between the federal grant provided to an eligible student and the amount owing for that student's tuition.
So we've found, we've looked up currently the new or the kind of the old slash new federal grant program that is they're talking about. So it used to be last year that the low income grant would be a max of, well, we found it to be $2,000 a year for low income. That will be changed to a max of $3,000 this coming year, grant for low income. Now, what is low income, you might ask? So low income threshold at the federal government is pre-tax, so gross family income, but it's also scaled, so it's based on family size. So it goes, they say, from, they've got a scale from one person, so like if you're an independent student, you're considered your own family unit, all the way to seven or more. So in New Brunswick, a low-income threshold, so the max you can earn as a low-income earner in order to apply, get the grant, is $20,837. Now, this is the 2015-2016 year, so it might have gone up depending on where wages are at every year. Whereas if you're a seven-person family, that middle-income number is that low-income number is $55,140. So if regardless of where you are on that scale, you'll get both grants. Now, we found that the trick now comes with the middle income grant. The federal government, their sliding scale is for this year, so maybe next year might change. But this year, if you're one person, the threshold is $33,682. So you can't make more of that, or you don't qualify for the middle income grant, which means you don't get grants at all, you just get loans, which you'll have to pay back. Now, the number that is interesting is in a three-person family. So that's, I mean, arguably like single mother, father, two kids or two parents or guardians and one child. The number is $58,517. So if your parent is a three-person family making $59,000, you don't qualify for the federal middle income grant, according to these 2015-2016 numbers. Maybe that threshold has moved up, but you now are in a limbo.
Yeah.
You're in a gray area. So you don't qualify for the federal grant, and this is what the federal government's been really, I mean, the provincial government's been vague. Does that mean you do not qualify for the provincial grant, even though technically you're below their $60,000 threshold, but you're just above the federal government's, you know, $58,000 threshold for a three-person family?
It's interesting that the language chosen, the provincial government in their announcement could have said grants and loans, but they were specific in saying grants and not sure if that's a technical oversight or if they meant to do that, but just plainly reading it, looking at what is stated, it appears that the example that Cody gave of the three-person family who's under the $60,000 because they didn't qualify for the federal grant, then they could not then get the top-up on top of the grant, because that's effectively what this provincial bursary is. It pays the difference between the federal grant and then the remainder of the tuition.
Now, it doesn't mean that they're not going to get loans. Doing the calculator, there's an estimator online. You can go to, I think it's canlearn.tools.ca, I think, or something like that. And there's an estimator program where you can type in all your information, and it'll give you an estimation of what kind of loan or grant system you'll get. Now, that's not been updated because it's been recently announced by the federal government that needs is going to be assessed a bit differently. As you also, the grants are going up from that $2,000 to $3,000 and $800 to $1,200 for middle income, as well as kind of the idea of usually you have to claim how much money you plan on making during the school year. This contribution is going to be deemed to be a flat rate. So let's say instead of being punished for earning a bit more, like, you know, if you're working part-time throughout school, the flat rate will, I mean, the idea is it'll be lower, but that also might hurt people who don't earn a certain amount of money. So now you'll be punished for being with this flat rate. So if you earned below, you might have been benefiting. But now, because they're creating a flat rate, every student is deemed to be paying this much or contributing this much throughout the year. So there's all these kind of changes, but the idea is that the loan and financial assessment in the calculations that usually the federal government does for the province does not just include tuition. Mm-hmm. This does not address if you're a student not living at home and you've come to Fredericton or you've moved to St. John, I doubt everybody is from Sackville, New Brunswick, who goes to Mount A. They couldn't. I mean, I doubt there's 2,000 students just laying around the fields of Sackville, New Brunswick, just waiting to go.
Hey, Cody, have you examined the fields?
I mean, I know. They're planting things out there. I'm not sure they're planting students. But so it doesn't take into. I mean, tuition is a big part of the thing. But we looked at. I mean, we did one calculation. It came to $15,000 was the financial need. Now, tuition at UMB, including mandatory fees, is roughly $7,200. It's a little bit less than that, unless they change that in the budget. I think that's coming up. But so that's what it is roughly now. So, I mean, that's half of your financial need is not covered underneath this tuition thing. As well as we were talking a little bit earlier before the show that this grant assumes that this money is meant to go just to tuition. Instead of assuming, like we were talking about, there's another grant that is not talked about as much, which is the Canada Student Grant for Persons with Disabilities, Permanent Disabilities, or Learning Disabilities. Are they going to now take away my tuition grant money from this new provincial one because I've got federal funding for my permanent disability, which, you know, might actually be for other things, not tuition? So are they going to take this into account, or am I going to be penalized and have to receive loans as a result of my financial need being deemed higher? So there's all these kind of questions that they're not really talking about. I mean, they made the announcement, and then on their page it says, you know, in the coming days we'll update it. But, you know, students have a lot of questions about this, and you know, exams are coming up and things are ending, and these are all very important questions that aren't really being answered by the provincial government. And I think it was kind of a lazy way of going, like, you know, the old magic show, look at this hand and don't look at the other hand kind of thing. So I think we recognized a lot of issues, as well as the other issue we talked about was it's a tuition increase. Now, the federal government will include your mandatory fees in their assessment for you, but does the tuition increase include, like the tuition bursary include, mandatory fees, which, and I will argue this till the day I die, most of the mandatory fees at UNB are tuition fees masked as ancillary fees. Mm. And I hope you're listening, Eddie Campbell, because that Curry Center fee is a tuition fee. But, yes, so, I mean, will this tuition rebate include that? Because UNB's mandatory fees, UNB Fredericton anyways, is about $500 or more. I mean, not including the student health and dental plan, which is, you know, an opt-in, opt-out scenario. I mean, the ones that are not opt-in, opt-out, like the facility access fee, the facility improvement fee, the health fee, all these other ones. So does this tuition bursary include that? Because that's still $500 is not a small bit of change. Mm-hmm. And so I think these are, and will this force maybe, there should be a forcing to force these numbers into the tuition, that these ancillary fees now because of this new program should be forced into the tuition cost.
And there's also, the announcement does not make particular anything about the volume of tuition someone's paying. I mean, there's the ordinary undergraduate tuition fee, but then you have the law student's massive tuition fee, which I pay, mm-hmm. and that's much higher. And the announcement doesn't say anything about covering someone's tuition for law school, let's say. I doubt it does. I think it probably is only meant to deal with that baseline.
Or even engineering, because engineers have to pay more as well.
They have a higher fee. And then there's international students. We have commentary from an international student coming up later. But I thought we'd bring Abram in here.
All right.
Abram Lutz, who is an undergraduate student through the Renaissance College program. And Cody was mentioning earlier that a lot of the costs of students are not just tuition. Actually, the larger part of their costs are living costs. So, Abram, you actually made a... After the announcement was made, you made a post on Facebook expressing some concerns about what the announcement's leaving out. Did you want to relay that?
Yeah. Just to backtrack a little bit, just in conversation with other students, I heard that the student unions and CASA were consulted on this.
Do you mean MBSA, the MBSA? Or do you mean, CASA's the federal one and MBSA is the one?
It would be NBSA then, yeah. They were consulted to an extent when this bill was being developed, and they had some influence on that. I just sort of want to clarify that I don't really have any knowledge of what was said in those sort of conversations, so I'm more of an outsider looking in. But from what I've seen, looking from sort of an economic and activist perspective, this is very similar to some of the things, as you mentioned, Cody, that the Liberals have been passing at the federal level and in the Ontario government, which do leave a lot of these gaps. So one of those is the cost of living. For example, in the Ontario one, they actually missed the mark about what is the actual estimated cost of living for the average student by a few thousand dollars. So that could be very serious for some people who are hoping that this grant will actually assist them on a more permanent basis. And the other thing, of course, is that these measurements only account for, you know, the earnings and not so much what people might be spending on the way out. So I've been reading reports saying that, you know, a large portion of youth and students are under eating because the cost of food is so high. So those elements aren't really being accounted for in any of these measurements either. So there's a possibility that, yeah, this bill will probably help a number of people, but it won't have the same effect that it comes as advertised with.
Yeah, and I think that we glossed over this point, but the idea that the federal funding has a sliding scale. So there's an understanding that, you know, as a family grows in size, obviously the income distribution per child is not the same. So, like, as we were saying, you know, there's three people in a family, so your middle income is deemed this way, whereas in other areas, you know, it's much more. And how the provincial government has come up with this number of $60,000, and how that, you know, it's this one number fits all kind of thing, and it doesn't take into account. And Asif was bringing up the fact that it, which the federal funding for financial need anyways, speaks to kind of, you know, how many students are in university.
Yeah.
So if you have two kids who are going to university, obviously a bigger burden. If you have special needs children, obviously that is something that needs to be taken into account. Transportation, like all these, there's all these other things that are outside of tuition, which I would argue that these grants are meant to cover as well, not just tuition. So I think that, this is like one of those. I mean, it's helpful to low income families and, you know, to some middle income families, arguably. But as you're saying, it leaves you wanting more, so to speak. And I'm thinking of which way to go with the transition on this one. But I guess I was wondering what your thoughts, Abram, are on in terms of, you know, where the money came from. So they got rid of the two tuition credits, I guess tax credits. There was the rebate program, and now recently they're also getting rid of the tax credit. So, you know, when you fill out your income tax, they ask you for your it's the T4A, which is that. And so it was put onto your income tax as a credit, so to speak. So, like, let's say for some reason you were undertaxed, you could use that as a buffer so that you wouldn't have to pay the government money.
Yeah.
Do you think that moving away from kind of this tax credit model towards upfront is kind of a good direction? I know the MBSA feels that it's a good move in the right direction, or do you feel that there should have been a transition? So, like, away from, because there are people who are graduated who benefit from that, but moving that, or is this kind of, how do you see it working in that sense?
Well, I think the principle is a good one. In terms of the effect on graduates, taxes are very confusing to me, and I'm sure they are to a lot of people, so I'm not entirely sure what those impacts should be, but yeah, they should, if there are those kinds of things happening, they should have been cushioned a little bit. I think it's also interesting in terms of money that in the budget, the government actually cut a large portion of education funding more generally, so across the board. And it's interesting that that decision was made, and then we have this new tax credit. Grant. I think that complicates kind of the education structure more generally in New Brunswick, and it might provide new kinds of assistance and aid, but it might also make it more difficult to get to the point where you are actually considering post-secondary education and are eligible for that.
Yeah, in terms of performance, I can appreciate that coming from, you know, Armucto. It's a good enough school, but it's like, if you don't feel prepared enough, how ready do you think you're going to feel for university, not only financially, but educationally? And I think in terms of the cuts, or, I mean, they would argue it's not a cut, but they froze, you know, there's a tuition freeze, as well as there was a freeze on funding, which the university community will argue there's about a 2-4% inflation that comes with operating costs at universities every year. So it's really a 4% cut. They call it a freeze, but it's a 4% cut. And I guess whoever wants to jump on this, the question of this will increase enrollment. So the idea is that, you know, your funding is down, but this program will make students come back to New Brunswick universities and colleges, you know, increase enrollment, which will increase the larger amount, the budgets that are going into university coffers. Do you think there's validity to this argument, or do you think this is, you know, we're trying to get blood from a stone, so to speak, that there are no more New Brunswick students left to increase, to go to New Brunswick? Like, we've already got, they're already here. They're here already.
I think that it is, there's a lot of presumptions being made by the provincial government, by universities and colleges in New Brunswick, whichever of them actually believes that this is a guarantee to increase enrollment. And one of the reasons being that a large aspect of the cost of education is not even being covered at all, which is the living costs, food costs, etc. Those aren't being accounted for, and quite a number of students are not living at home. They're attending a university outside of their home, and they have all those other costs to deal with. So if those costs aren't being covered, then a lot of students may still, prospective students may still be like, I don't know about that. Maybe I'm just going to go straight to work. So there's that one presumption on that, okay, that the tuition itself, by providing the bursary, we will be able to get some students who would not normally go to university to go. So I think what they're trying to do is two things. One thing is that the government and the universities both expect that they will get certain people that would not normally go to university or college, and those people will decide to go because suddenly there's an incentive to go. And another one is they're trying to grab those students who go to another university outside of New Brunswick, and they're trying to encourage them with incentives to stick around. And with the idea, as the announcement made clear by Mr. Glant, or a laundry statement in the release, education is the key to New Brunswick's economic future. A job is the best social program. So clearly the idea is someone gets an education in New Brunswick and they stay in New Brunswick. So the idea is retention overall. So, I mean, there's a pretty big presumption. I think we have yet to see if it'll work. It's a lot of unknowns, but but there's a number of ways it could work out differently. Like, it might not be enough to get the numbers that they want.
Yeah.
I guess we could talk a little bit about in terms of who does not benefit. So, I mean, the people that generally never benefit from most post-secondary policy provincially or federally are international students. They are, especially most recently, the cash cow of most institutions here. We actively recruit them because we can charge them nearly double, if not more than double, our own tuition rates. So I think it'd be good to hear from, hear from Nigam.
So this is Nigam Kanal, who's an international student at UNB, and interviewed her yesterday. So here's her thoughts on the recent announcement.
Hi, my name is Nigam Kanal, and I'm a graduate student here at the University of New Brunswick, and I'm also an international student.
Okay, so yesterday, on April the 14th, the government of New Brunswick announced a new program. It's a bursary program that is to benefit students from families that are low income, whose families make under $60,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But a prerequisite to get this benefit is you have to be from a New Brunswick family. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't include international students. So first of all, what's your thoughts on this announcement and how there's nothing about international students in it?
Well, I think while it is a positive announcement, I was hopeful that they would do something about the international students, because a few months ago when we met with the different unions on campus, including the Undergraduate Student Union, I'm also a member of UGSW, which is Graduate Student Workers Union here at UNB, which is a union for graduate students, TAs and RAs who work as TAs and RAs. So when we last met, we were kind of told that international students, we paid twice the tuition and everything than the domestic students. And we also pay the international differential fee, which means if you're an international student, you have to pay a differential amount, which comes to around $1,500. And it goes on increasing every year. Well, at least it has. So we were kind of told that it would be eliminated, and the government was keen on working on it. And I was kind of hoping for some kind of positive news on that aspect, but that unfortunately didn't happen. But, I'm hopeful that this will do something for the low-income families and encourage the families and the children to go to, higher studies.
So that meeting that happened last fall, mm-hmm. You told me earlier, the joint student body meeting. Mm-hmm. So what was the point of that meeting?
Well, the point of that meeting was for all the unions on campus, including GSA, which is Graduate Student Association, which is the umbrella association of all the grad students, and Undergraduate Student Union, Graduate Student Workers Union, which is our union, and the Adult Part-Time Learners Union, to come together and talk about common issues, and also be updated with each other's what's going on in each other's union and what we're up to. So basically touch basing with each other's activities and building that kind of camaraderie.
So is there any indication that there's going to be some follow-up with the provincial government by international students to discuss what possible benefits there could be for you and your fellow international students?
As a graduate student, as an international graduate student, my job will be to keep pushing them to do some follow-up and take some action, because there are a lot of international students who want to come to Canada, especially in New Brunswick, especially in this university. International students make a lot of, a good portion of the students. And we do pay a lot of money, and, we pay taxes, we spend a lot of money, basically. So in order to attract more students, I think it could be one incentive for them to choose Canada, or New Brunswick for that matter, because, we get this austerity dialogue every day. And in order to bring that economy thriving, I think it's important to attract international students and make University of New Brunswick a good destination.
All right, so
double click.
So that was Nigam Kanal, an international student at UNB, and she brought up a lot of concerns. So meanwhile, while this announcement means at least for some future students at UNB, there will be a very significant discount. They'll have their tuition covered. For some, they've only ever paid more money, and that's international students. So international students pay the differential fees, as Nigam was describing. And they were hoping, they've always been hoping for years now, that the next announcement will be the one that gives them a break. And they've never heard that next announcement that gives them a break. So international students are one group that is being left out. Another group we've already referred to, it's those that are above that $60,000 mark. And another group, which Nigam is also part of, are the grad students. So it's true, grad students do get grants quite often. They're able to get funding, research funding, to cover the costs of their education. But the thing is, a lot of grad students, I've been a grad student before, a lot of grad students run out of funding in their last year or for a final term while they're writing, and they have to pay tuition for that term. And there are some unfortunate grad students who are not able to secure funding and end up paying tuition for the majority of their program. It may not even pay get any grants for their entire program. So this does happen. So what about the graduate students who are under that threshold amount of 60,000? They don't get anything. And I return to the point in the statement. When the government is making the statement that education is the key to New Brunswick's economic future, I mean, most people know by now, anybody who's doing a university education is aware that the undergrad has very little value. Unless you actually get a further degree upon that, that's not really going to help you get a decent job. So without doing something to help bolster the incentives for graduate students to come into the universities of New Brunswick and colleges of New Brunswick, well, not colleges, universities of New Brunswick, I think there's a serious gap as far as meeting this measure that the government wants with jobs for New Brunswickers.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you were examining that one of the candidates, like one of the federal grants, you have to be only an undergraduate student to get that. Do you remember which one it was that only undergrads qualified for?
That was the one we were talking about. That's
the low-income one?
The Canada Student Grant for students from low-income families.
Yeah, so it's only for undergraduate students. Yeah, you have to be a full-time undergraduate student. So, I mean, you've already, you know, you've gotten rid of a large group of things. I mean, federally, they'll argue that they've got the SHRC and NSERC and a couple of other things, but I think another, like you say, provincially, not addressing kind of attracting grad students to the province is definitely a lack of foresight on the part of the provincial government. What do you think about that, Abram?
Well, I think it's interesting. I was at a meeting at the Grad Students Union a few weeks ago, and they sort of begrudged the fact that UNB does dedicate a significant amount of employment and funding to recruiting grad students. So obviously the administration at UNB knows that grad students are valuable to the university, that they contribute a lot to the university, particularly financially, as we see now. So I think I think it's a similar situation with international students and how they're recruited. So I think the government is not acknowledging the extreme burden that these two categories have, while also kind of relying on them to feed into and contribute a large amount to the university's value and energy academically.
Yeah,
I think that it would be interesting to, we were hoping to actually get somebody from the Graduate Student Association. It's a hard time to get an interview this time of the year.
Yeah. I guess, would you like to move to a song here?
Yeah, let's do that.
So in recognition that, you know, the Francophone students in this province are very much engaged after being seen just a couple weeks ago when they were thrown out of the legislature for protesting cuts to, or, you know, the freeze to post-secondary education funding and the fact that they have rising debt loads and that tuition is continuously increasing. I guess we'll play an Acadian rap group called Radio Radio. The song is from their first major album, Vuka Vuka.
Nice.
Super hot.
Bingo.
les Martins de la côte Est. Le best, le number one pour reach the top man. Le test, on représente la bande de fous, man. Pas de stress, la seule tape, si tu t'enjures. C'est fait, yo, la langue de Molière, un accent aigu. Toi d'en fond sur les phrases, je trouve pas tendu. Accélérer le vérité que le monde parle différent, indifférent du négatif, on émite. Pas le gueule qui trouve le truc pour réunir toutes les forces du monde. Les ondes radio qui jouent toutes, sauf hip-hop. Et ceux qui jouent, c'est grâce à vous qu'on a un message qui passe. Comme vous de base, parle-moi vos bases pour m'exprimer. Yo, les qualités nombreuses, c'est pas pour m'abstiner. À pire point, sur la pointe ou le bord de la rue. Du rap cru qui dirige tous les gens qui vivent. Public, qu'est-ce qu'il oublie la pub ou mais que vous voulez dire. C'était faire les références. Il faut pas suivre, faut vivre, pas seulement lire des livres. So check in, check out, on est la radio, she out. So check in, check out, on est la radio, she out. So yo, 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 yo. Je suis pas classifié immigrant, puis je me sens pas immigré. Yo, merci pour la free cruise. Qu'est-ce qui nous a déporté maintenant? Ah, que mes rêves sont réalisés. Les esprits m'ont attrapé, ça que je joue pour vous l'attirer. L'accent aigu parce que la reine a été vendue. Un peu comme notre histoire, but please, on l'a déjà entendu. Retour à terre, ma terre, mais spectacle chaque est vendu. Benez dit, allez, finalement, on est rendu. Une fois expliqué, compliqué, pas malentendu. Oui, oui, j'ai compris, niqué, ton petit peu plus. Ma musique, one way ticket, faire le tour du monde. Je ne peux répondre. Réalise qu'il y a des problèmes dans la terre, notre rôle aux zones. On cherche la virus, puis le combo est rendu jaune. So yo, yo. De petits mots qui créent des discours, demandent pour une autre opinion. La musique qui donne des sentiments, plaît pas pour les mots. Vocabulaire qui laisse faire, faut pas toujours se taire. Faut juste se taire. Second mystère, silence qui tue la musique qui promène l'atmosphère. Évolution constante, on continue de le faire. Quoi son destin, frappe le mur ou passe à travers. Ma main maîtrise les politiques, limite poussées pour faire des présidents. Des présidents ou présidents, femmes ou masculins. So bitch is beautiful, documenté. Quelqu'un le lit, l'opinion, chrome ou pas ou chrome ou plus comme c'est mal écrit. Certificat ton diplôme ou ton baccalauréat. Tu fais une des ateliers parce que l'aime si c'est moi. J'allave ma main qui colle ma plume qui coule pour toi. Baccalauréat, j'ai l'air d'asseoir, pourquoi pas. So yo, 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 yo.
All right, that was
Radio.
Great tune. Okay, so now let us go to where to go from here.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the question. Is this move in the right direction, and where do we go? So I guess we'll start off with Abram. Do you think this is a move in the right direction, and do you think that kind of we need to build on this direction in terms of, like, upfront financial assistance, mm-hmm. And what does that look like in terms of also kind of the idea that we were talking about earlier, matching that with, like, how do we go from saying we're paying for tuition for people whilst also cutting the funding to post-secondary education? Mm. So, like, how do we circle that square, I guess?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think the principle of upfront financial support and funding is a good one, but I'm not sure if the framework of this kind of policy is the way to do it. Like you said, it's coming at the expense of other elements of education and post-secondary education. So I think more of having a, I think we talked about this during the song, having a more comprehensive education plan or stream or system where it is all about educating people in a way that's accessible and affordable. That's the kind of principle and direction we need to have.
What do you think, Asif?
Well, I think that some of what we talked about earlier, just about just the trouble with having that, just that number, that absolute number, 60,000. If you're under it, you're good. If you're not, you're not. Like, that's fundamentally flawed in so many ways where we got into, like, what if you just missed the mark? What about if you're from a family that has special needs kids and you have no disposable income, then that family's effectively poorer than a family who may actually make significantly less than them overall. Things like that. Like, so there needs to be a system whereby those are factored in, those issues are factored in to better enable people to get in the door. And even beyond that, I mean, everything I'm saying is premised in the idea that tuition is fair at all. I mean, we could also bring up, why are we paying tuition at all? Because some other places in the world, like Germany, at least for German people, that there's no tuition. And a lot of countries have no tuition. And the idea being that it's an opportunity for people to be able to educate themselves. And the government is investing in people because that leads to better results down the road. And that's a sea change. And we're not even close to that. This conversation is a very narrow conversation about how do we deal with helping students pay these high tuition costs without challenging the tuition.
Well, and I kind of want to bring in, you know, a good friend of ours and a friend of the show, Eddie Campbell, who said to the CBC this week in terms of the announcement for this. So the idea was brought up about, you know, free tuition. So Eddie said, tuition is a complicated issue. There is both public and private good involved, he said. And then he said, I do think we live in a society where people value what they pay for. I would also be concerned about how to sustain quality in our institutions without the support we get from tuition fees. So, I mean, that when you've got the president of your institution actively saying that he doesn't really support kind of this idea of free tuition for all students, you're already working an uphill battle when he's not advocating on your behalf for access to that. I'm not sure I buy the idea that we don't value what we don't pay for. I mean, technically, you're paying for it. So the idea that my parents are paying for this, Joe Blow down the street, the company, the Irvings might pay for a little bit. You know, these are tax dollars. It's being paid for by the community, by the province of New Brunswick, which is represented by its citizenry who pays the taxes. So basically he's saying we don't value higher education in this province, so to put money on it is just, it's not really valuing it, we're just giving lip service. And I think that if you look at other countries that do value, as we say, but don't pay for it, like Germany, I think Scotland's another example, a lot of other countries, I think they would probably disagree with the idea that those people who are going to post-secondary educations don't value their education. So I think that's a flawed argument from our president, as well as the idea, like we were talking about, there's all these complications that come out of the idea of this $60,000. And even, you know, a graded system, although it's better, still doesn't quite take into account a lot of the other issues, which is why, and I know I've quite a few of my friends and other people, especially in this province, don't agree with the idea of free tuition for everybody, because of the idea that, you know, some people should pay and all this kind of stuff. But the idea, this takes away that complicated nature when you have everybody having free education. You know, life is complicated, things are complicated, and that needs to be paid for. Now, should that be done in a way that is kind of at the expense of other economic institutions or educational institutions? I guess that's a question for another day, or, I mean, it is a question for now. But I think there's, when UMB did a study where the idea is that, you know, UMB, roughly 5% of New Brunswick's GDP, not a small number, And, you know, you get like a 5% return on your investment when you invest in UNB or a post-secondary education. So, I mean, it makes sense to give money to education instead of, you know, maybe buying a shipyard up in Bac Harraquette, not to down the people of Bac Harraquette, but like we're buying a shipyard for roughly between $15 to $30 million. And this pool of money for education was roughly, actually not even near that. So,
wow.
When you think about the grander scale of things, you know, we have the money to prioritize education in this province. We're just not doing it.
Mm. Abram?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything that was said there. I think the language of, you know, financing education is really, you know, it's quite obstructed and obtuse in terms of the political maneuvering that's going on here. And I think that a lot of this bill was sort of throwing a bone a little bit to students without really addressing that sort of systemic balance or imbalance that's sort of plaguing the way we view our education system and the way we view post-secondary education for the people of New Brunswick and the people who want to come here to study. I think I'm going to also add that NBSA could do a little more to challenge the UNB's administration's positions, because I think it is something that's in the interest of all students, and NBSA does say that they wish to represent all students in sort of challenging the idea that you know, that free tuition is somehow bad for the education and for the students.
Yeah, I think that we were talking during the break about the idea of free tuition and what effect that would have, and I was saying that I think with one thing that even bringing up this the concept of no tuition, it automatically would force the hand of the province and all the institutions about the enrollment racket, I'll call it, where right now the way universities and colleges in some sense they're functioning is that they're just trying to get as high enrollment as possible, and there's not necessarily a match between the enrollment numbers, the specific programs that students are enrolled in, and opportunities in the real world, whether that's the ability to create opportunities for yourself or to fit into existing opportunities. So if there is no tuition, I think it basically forces the government to consider like making sure that investment is, there's some rationality to it, saying, all right, this cannot just be like an institution which is a money grabber for enrollment, for tuition, because that is no longer the issue. It's the issue is this institution functioning for the betterment of all the people in the province? So that would be the central question. So I think free tuition is a game changer, and people have to look at it that way. I guess I would just add that in.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, how much time we got now?
A few minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is also, I mean, it brings post-secondary education back into, I mean, drawing on a positive aspect, is it?
Yeah.
Now post-secondary education is back in the public conversation again.
That's true.
I think that people are talking about post-secondary education, talking about the benefits of post-secondary education. I think this is very good. That includes colleges as well. So, you know, people going to MBCC, MBCCD, they're involved in this as well, because, you know, college education is just as important as university education. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, having access to these post-secondary education, it's always a bonus. But, again, the conversation shouldn't stop with, oh, good job, liberals, now we can all just kind of, like, go back into our holes and study for exams kind of thing. I think it's a conversation that needs to keep going, eh?
Yeah, it's interesting the timing of the announcement, too.
Yeah.
Very fascinating, right when I was in the middle of my exams, and I'm sure a lot of other people were, too.
Mm.
Okay, so we have a few minutes, and before we get to the closing announcements of the show about how you can find this after the fact and things like that, wanted to mention to people a great event coming up this week in Fredericton, a story from Syria that you likely haven't heard and may not hear unless you go to this event, and I'm not kidding, because what we have here is a Rojava Revolution report back happening this Wednesday on April the 20th at 7 p.m. at Conserver House. It's 180 St. John Street. And here's what's going down. So anarchist author Paul Simon will share reflections and inspirations from the scene. So Paul Z. Simon, was able to get into this Rojava region of Syria and hear from people who are directly there, which is a story of itself, how he actually was able to accomplish a very difficult goal of even getting in there. And what he's going to reflect on is, as this is the description provided, after the fall of the Syrian government and in the midst of the current crisis, Kurdish organizations have been setting up regions free from domination by capitalism and state authority, attempting to put to rest feuds between different religious and ethnic groups and challenging patriarchal domination over women and relating communally to the land. So case in point in that statement, this movement is actually being led by women in the region, which is, I think, for most people maybe a phenomenal statement that something like that is occurring in that region. But yes, it is. And if you want to hear more about that, do check it out. Again, Wednesday, April 20th, 7 p.m., 180 St. John Street. That's Conservator House, and it's free. So check it out. And here's something that's off the beaten path. All right, so we got a few minutes. We have 5 minutes.
Jeez. Do you want we could do our outro?
Yeah.
You know, maybe thank Abram for being here.
Yeah.
And then do the context stuff, and then just end with a song.
Yeah, sure. If you got, yeah, that's perfect. That'll fit all together. Okay. So, what do people do if they want to catch the show after the fact?
So we'll be putting the podcast up on our Facebook page, as well as Asif and I will be sharing it on Facebook. You can look at us on Twitter at From the Margins CHSR, or
there's also a website. I know websites are old, but and this website is actually old and probably should fix it.
Oh man,
I like
it's
it.
Like straight up HTML.
Yeah, so. I like it though. It's got character, you know, just like
yeah.
we do, right?
So yeah.
It's fromthemargins.h-a-z.org. It even has a really complicated URL, which I like, and you can check that out. And that has a list of previous shows, as well as a link to the old podcast site, which I need to fix because it's not working anymore. But we have a new one, so
yeah. And so, and thanks again, Abram, for coming in and talking to us.
It's a pleasure.
And yeah, so I'm Cody Jack. That's Asif Rashid, and this was From the Margins. We're going to go out with a song. This is dedicated to Cody Waite, if he's listening. It's blues. It's called Albert King, Born Under a Bad Sign.
If it wasn't for bad luck, I tell you I wouldn't have.